from Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, Worldwide Evolution and Revolution, a military technology that was turned over to civilians, a powerful technology. And if this is the first time you've listened to the show, then you don't know. When you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low. And here she is.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor. Your mother confessor. Your horny housewife. Your pleasure preacher, brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and sinners. We are all sinners. And we are sinning here at the Speakeasy on Radio Suzy One, live from the soul of downtown L.A. And I have some special guests tonight in our studio. The famous throughout the world in Holland, Willem de Ridder. Welcome back, Willem. So, this is getting to be a regular thing.
Yeah, really.
So have you missed me?
Did I miss you? Yeah, I've been talking about you.
Okay, that must mean you missed me.
Yeah.
What did you say? Nasty things?
Of course, only nasty things. Isn't that what you want?
Deliciously nasty things.
Yeah.
What did you say?
The thing is that I was first of all totally flabbergasted about the space you're in here and the amount of people and the feeling. I mean, it's such a nice together feeling here.
Aww.
That's wonderful.
Thank
yeah.
you.
No, it felt really cozy and open and delicious.
Amazing that a 17,000 square foot space could be cozy, but
yeah.
we somehow worked that out.
Yeah, definitely. especially the feeling among the people here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that because I know you're a connoisseur of cozy spaces.
Yeah.
And you have brought a cozy friend tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
Coco Cozy.
Coco Co.
Coco Co.
So happy to be here.
Hello, Sister Coco. Welcome to the Speakeasy.
Hello, Dr. Suzy. Delighted to be here and see this astounding space. I love it here.
Thank you. And you kind of come here from two different directions. You know people here from different ways, including myself. You reminded me of having met me at that Robert Scheer event. You know, Mar, David, I mean, you're just, and now you seem to be the resident paparazzi. You're supposed to focus on being on the radio. What are you taking, a video now?
I'm always shooting, but it is shooting. Really wonderful to actually reconnect after many, many years, and we do all other go back quite a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say that also here is Brother Dave.
The artist known as Mickey.
Yeah, the artist known, formerly known or sometimes
right,
known as Mickey, right. Occasionally, in and out. Exam, there's different...
Max, you know.
Incarnations, evolution.
Yeah, evolution.
And yes. We have Sister Terry.
Hello.
Hold on a second, Sister Terry. Hello. Where is your mic here?
Sister Terry, yeah, there
Sister
we go.
Terry
now it's working. Hello, everybody.
Right. Yeah, we had a good time Saturday night, didn't we? We got such a good time,
really
we didn't
did.
Even do a radio show. We kind of drank our way through the radio show. But we were celebrating 16 years of bonobo marriage. And
Coco,
lots of love.
Yeah, but I don't
So, we did that. And now we're here into the next level. The next stage of the beta that we are in called life, beta phase. So so let me hear more from Sister Coco, since you're the, to me, you are the
she's a legend
the,
in
the mystery, a little bit of a mystery. Hey, you know all these people I know, including myself, and I didn't even realize it.
Aww.
So I do want to say that years ago, I heard a tape with you on it, talking about, as they say in French, j'arrive, and I was very impressed. I was very impressed with your voice. I enjoyed it.
I think I might have been inspired at the time. I'd been living with Vangelis for a year, and he...
Vangelis
Papathanasiou, the composer. And he had done a beautiful song with Iran Papas. I don't know if anyone remembers that
Irene Pappas.
Yeah, Iran Papas.
You're pronouncing everything correctly, so I don't know what you're talking about.
And she had done a beautiful song for him, and I think that was quite an inspiration for the piece that we did at the time. But I don't know if
music,
you
yes, it was very musical.
And she did, I
with
think,
crickets in the background. And since then, for like 5 years after that, I used crickets in back of all my radio shows. I just wanted crickets. I just kept using crickets until I couldn't stand crickets anymore. And then I stopped. But I think I'd like to go back. Maybe we should have crickets.
Crickets are great.
You know? Crickets are really nice as a kind of a chorus yeah. line.
And what did she do? She had a whole song, and the whole song went like, I want to come, want,
yes.
I want to come, I want to come. And she went on for hours, and it was spectacular.
And
that
you kind of did too. You went on for hours, or at least an hour, right? I mean,
it was Dylan, you talked me into
that. You're
doing
very well. It was very good. How'd you talk her into that?
Yeah, how'd you talk me into that? Well, he was doing the audio version of Finger at the time.
Yeah, you know what it is. Such a, if you're inspired, you know, then you inspire other people too.
Mm.
And there was such a great feeling around the newspaper, the magazine that you did.
Uh huh. And you told
that
her.
Automatically you attract people then, you know.
I want to come.
Yeah, come here. Yes, I want to come.
No, it was great.
I want to come.
Yeah, I just remember that rhythm. I want to come.
And those fingers just flew off the newsstands.
That was the tape that went with the magazine.
Yeah, they
right.
had never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there was no such thing. There still isn't.
No, it's true.
With all the technology and all of that, there still isn't.
Yeah.
Do you realize that at one point, Villain did a whole issue? It was kind of, I think my mother had done a whole story about her entire sexual life, and she
really?
Talked about her entire, from being
your
a child
mother.
All the way to being grown up, and he did kind of an issue where it was featured a lot of this, and I do remember that she gave away these issues of Finger at her wedding.
Oh, no, I didn't know that story.
I still don't believe that she did that. But
that's right, your mom.
Amazing.
Right.
At your mom's wedding?
God, my memories.
Because there was like a centerfold, and I had done photos of her, and she'd written this huge piece, and then it was a family affair.
How did her husband feel about that?
He was a trooper. I don't think he even noticed her. He was a scientist. He was oblivious.
Oh, wow. Maybe it helped them in the bed, in the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, I just want to let our listeners know, now that we've introduced all of our special guests, that, you know, you can call and join us if you want.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
Yeah. If you're
we're kind of going to meander around different topics.
Right.
Sex, love, life, death, finger, art. Music,
finger painting.
Yes, finger painting.
There's
is
not
a
enough
beautiful
finger
thing.
Painting.
Mm,
in this world.
You know, there should be more.
There should.
There was in the '60s. We finger painted a lot of.
Actually,
bodies.
I remember finger painting as a kid. I mean, do kids still finger paint?
I think kids still finger paint. I think finger painting is still a staple.
Or did that become some
kids.
Sort of toxic thing now?
If you want, I can finger paint on you.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a sexy thing to do, finger
it
painting.
Is.
I remember as a kid thinking finger painting was sexy because then you'd start. Finger painting your friends
because you get messy. You're dirty,
yeah,
and you're supposed to get dirty when you're taught as a child to clean up.
Right.
So there's this certain sexual vibes, just getting down and dirty.
And we would always grab each other with our fingers all painted.
It's slimy and it feels good.
So Finger was the name of one of your magazines. Finger, Love, Hate, God.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things is this, that one day I walked out of my office and I found a page of Suck magazine. It was on the sidewalk. And
wow. Really?
So I brought it up to my office and
you found it on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk. We're in Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills.
On the sidewalk, okay? And I brought it up to my office.
We're not gonna start talking about poop again.
No,
right?
No. So I brought it up to my office and I asked Luigi Lucci.
Luigi, the artist.
What do you want?
Luigi.
Yeah.
Luigi, remember Luigi?
Luigi.
Yes. He's a great artist, yeah.
Luigi Lucci with the platform shoes, okay, and the afro hair.
Yeah.
And I said, Luigi, I found this out on the sidewalk. Do you know what this is? And he said, oh, that probably fell out of my trunk. My cousin is a distributor in Holland for this magazine called Suck. Really? I just thought, wow, that's amazing. This is really beautiful. Can you get copies of this? He says, oh, yeah, I can get copies of this. And a few weeks later, we got copies of it. And I said, well, Finger should pay a tribute to this great magazine. So I stole as many pages as I could out of the magazine. And it was an immediate success, of course, and Finger had just started. I think it was in its second issue. And so, you know, we distributed. And a few weeks later, the secretary calls from the front office and says, there's a gentleman here who'd like to see you. I said, well, who is it? There's a guy by the name Willem something, the Ritter, and he's the guy that made that Suck magazine. And I said, where is he? He's here in the lobby. I said, go ahead. Send him in. And here's this character who comes in. Hello, I'm William de Ritter. And you stole my magazine. I said, well,
he said he didn't mind, though.
No, no.
He said it nicely.
He wasn't threatening or anything.
No.
No lawsuits, no Hollywood lawyers. And we became friends. And he said, listen, I'd like to work with you guys and teach you how to make magazines. And he says, I need an apartment. You need an apartment. Okay. why don't you go find an apartment? And so a few days later, he comes back and he says, yes, I found this apartment. And it's just down the street here from you. And so I walked over with him, and we went to see the apartment. It was a penthouse. Now, this is Beverly Hills 30-some-odd years ago, and the rent, I think, was $350.
Wow.
It was outrageous. But he said, this is the place I'd like to make magazines in. Your office is kind of, you know, not quite what I'm looking for. And so we got that apartment, and that was the beginning of the history here in Los Angeles of underground papers and reader-written magazines. He was doing that in Holland. I was doing it here. I actually stole my first letters from Bob Guccione when he first came out with Penthouse. But Bob Guccione's letters were a little different.
Mm-hmm. And of course, now everything is reader written. Online, it's
That's
all
correct.
Reader written.
Yeah.
In fact, you can't really tell the readers from the writers.
Right.
The readers can comment, and it's pretty much taken over. Yeah. You know, the whole reader written.
It was a pretty revolutionary step. It was, by the way, also one of the first. It was like all technologies. Willem, of course, was doing this in Holland. I was doing it in the United States. It was offset printing. You didn't need any big buildings and presses, and you didn't need any of that. You could just slap something on a piece of paper with a little glue. If you were really highly advanced, you had a waxer. Right, Willem?
Yes.
No Photoshop.
No Photoshop.
Didn't exist. No computers yet.
No computers, no nothing.
But those were also the days you could believe a photo. If you saw a photo of something, that's what wasn't really happening.
That was the photo.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they had touching up. You could touch
up.
And you know what, that was very advanced to touch up. A regular person couldn't touch up.
Yeah, it's true. And what's so nice about offsets, that it's all done by hand, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like making a collage, you know? You glue things on the piece of paper. And so it has that feeling that you did it by hand, you know?
Well, you use your hands on a computer. You play with a mouse, right? No.
Yeah, you play with the mouse, but it's automatically, you know, it seems a little bit untouched by human hands. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we're going to have some human voices on the show now. If you want to call us, our number in North America is toll free 1-866-289-7068. Anywhere else in the world, you can call our regular number 213-749-1330. And we can look on drsusanblock.com to see all of our other numbers all over the world. And if you're in Skype, you can put yourself into the waiting room, and I will put you into talking. And we have Lady Ayla online, too, who wants to join in the conversation.
Lady Ayla and...
Lady Ayla.
Yeah, so this is Queen Adrina, Lady Ayla.
Yes. Hello, Lady Ayla.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I'm wanting to know if you were going to do another party soon.
Oh, we are, but we haven't set a date yet.
Oh, well, I was hoping that you might do it near Beltane, which would be...
When is that, May?
May 3rd.
May 3rd. I think that might be a little quick.
Okay. Well, Mother's Day.
But we'll certainly do a radio show.
Okay. Well, because I was thinking, you know.
No, I know what you were thinking, and I can totally groove with that. But you know, I got it
around the corner.
We have some things we have to take care of here. Wow. Doing one of our show parties is like a big production for us. Well, we love it, and we will do another one soon.
Okay, because I was just thinking that your Param vernal equinox was, you know.
I know.
Oh, spectacular.
Yeah, you were great at that.
Well, thank you.
Yes, we had a great time.
You always are.
If you'd like to suggest anything that you'd like to see, I mean, I'd be more than happy to, help you out.
Well, okay. I will keep that in mind. When we set our next date. I don't always set them to coincide with equinoxes and solstices. That's just sometimes a happy coincidence.
Okay.
It's just, you know, when we can do it. So, anyway.
I was also, interested in, you know, people talking about early doing things in the printing a long time ago.
Yes, we have experts in that here tonight.
Yeah, well...
we have several pioneers.
In the field
of printing.
Underground papers
and
reader-written magazines. And
we did my husband and I did an underground little newspaper. It was called The Tantrum.
Really? The Tantrum?
Yeah, Tantrum.
Nice title.
And I have a copy still. We created it in 1975.
Wow, that's early. That's early in the history.
Yeah.
How did you create it?
We had some old presses. We're talking, you know, Gutenbergers.
Gutenbergs.
No, where you had to set the print and set the type and all that kind of good stuff. And we also had more... We were starting to get into the more electronic part of it, but we still had to slug and, you know, we gave a lot of the ideas inadvertently to Mr. Who's the the bunny, the fellow with the...
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
Hefner, Mr. Hefner.
The bunny fellow, yes.
The bunny guy.
You know about him.
Yeah, the guy with bunnies.
And then there was...
Yeah, this guy's fucking bunnies, I know.
Who's the other one? There's Hefner.
Bob Guccione?
Guccione.
Ah, yes, we were talking about him a little earlier. What did you steal from him? I mean, what did you...
we created a 5x7 pamph. Well, it's basically what he saw we brought to him.
Oh.
And so he
did he pay you for it?
No.
That's a typical publishing story.
And so anyways, you know, one thing... But, yeah, and he also liked a lot of our photo sets. But then when I came to him, he couldn't believe that I was even 21.
Mm.
So he said, great ID. Get out of here.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had a valid California ID, but he didn't believe it.
Wow. I can imagine. You're very schoolgirlish looking, even now.
To the point that most people, you know, I'd go into any bar... You know, I'm over 21, 23 even. They're like, get out of here.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, I first met Bob Guccione when I stole his forum letters from Penthouse Magazine.
Uh-huh.
And he made a mistake. His PR people made a mistake. There was a new newspaper that came out,
mm-hmm.
and they got mixed up, and they called me, and they said, Bob Guccione would like to do an interview with you. So we were thrilled. We were... you know, we were basically about 6 months old, and so we said, yeah, we'd love to do an interview with him, and we went to his hotel room, and he wasn't rich yet, and so he had a little hotel room, and he had his daughter there, who also slept in the hotel room. I don't know what that's about, but anyway, so Paul Eberle and myself were sitting there, and we were interviewing him,
uh-huh.
and Paul Eberle talks just like him. He has a very deep Guccione voice.
Uh-huh.
And as we were talking to him, Bob Guccione says, excuse me, he said, what newspaper are you with? And we said, well, we're with the L.A. Star, Mr. Guccione. The L.A. Star, I see. Do you have a copy of the L.A. Star? And so we pulled out our little, I think at that time it was 32 pages,
uh-huh.
and we pulled it out. And it was a mess. It was one big mess. And he started going through it. And,
uh-huh.
you know, we had tits on the front cover, which no newspaper ever done in America,
uh-huh.
especially in news racks. And then he got to a part that said, you be the psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
And we had cut out his, this is offset printing, of course, uh-huh. just like DVDs. And, we had cut out his form letters from Penthouse.
Uh-huh.
And he stopped and he looked at it. And he said, just like this. I believe that this is my typesetting. And we said, yes, it is, Mr. Guccione. These are great letters. These are wonderful, wonderful letters.
Uh-huh.
And we thought they were so great that we'd publish them. And he stood up in his room, and he said, you know, you guys got a pair of balls like I've never seen before. And he laughed.
Oh, good.
And he laughed, and Paul and I went, whew.
Yeah.
And then he said, you guys are great, and don't steal my shit anymore. And he started to support us, first of all, we became Penthouse's first kind of research center for getting models.
Well, you didn't have to steal anymore because then you got your own letters.
Right, then we got our own letters.
Right.
Now, our own letters, of course, were a little different than Bob Guccione's letters because they weren't edited or we didn't...
Oh, cool.
Write them yourselves.
We didn't write them ourselves and we didn't correct them. But that's how I met Bob Guccione, and so I stole a few letters from him. But he has always been a good friend over the years, and of course he got overtaken by, like many publishers, got overtaken by the reality of sex and real fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And of course our friend from Hustler. So, anyway. Okay, so that's what it's all about. It's all about revolution and publishing and stealing a little bit and leaving something for others.
Giving back.
Giving back.
That's true.
Well, great, Lady Ayla. I'm glad to hear that we have something else in common.
I'll have to bring you a copy of a tantrum.
Oh, definitely.
Please do.
Definitely.
So you can look
Thank
at it.
You.
We'll put it in the museum here.
Yes.
It is a it's a collector's piece. We did sell them a long time ago for I think $10. We were asking for it.
Wow, that was a lot in those days.
Yeah,
that
it
is
was.
Hefty price.
And it was really interesting.
75.
We heard from a lot of artistic people, and they would send us maybe $5, and then a catalog of their artwork at the time. And it was really interesting. We had people that were, you know, made erotic artwork, and they'd send us pictures of it.
Yeah.
And print that.
And now everybody's doing it. Everybody has a radio show, everybody has a magazine, and the revolution is on, it's multiplied, and like always, the revolution needs cash. Cold, hard cash.
Send money.
Send money.
Now.
Now what is very nice now is that you just download your money.
Right. You don't have to send it in the snail mail.
Electronically transferred.
Right.
It's all more instant now.
Yes.
From
instant
our bank to your bank.
But it's instant only in one direction, though. If you have a commercial account, it takes 3 days for it to finally hit your bank.
Yeah, of course they have. They earn interest on it, which is fine. Right. You know, that's
well, that's still
that's
a lot shorter period of time.
Right, than the mail.
Right.
Yeah.
And in New York now, they have signs in the windows: euros only.
Really?
Oh,
where's this?
In now
New
they're
York.
Starting to see
euros
it in New York
only.
City.
Wow.
In the windows, euros only.
Really? Yeah. You know, I like those euros too.
Yeah,
they're much more valuable than dollars. Mm. Dollars are like pesos now.
Yeah, and that was the scandal that Iraqis wanted to have oil sold as euros instead of dollars, and that might have been one of the reasons we're in Iraq now.
Yeah.
Coco, you know that downtown.
Do you want to pay? Can I pay you in euros?
Euros accepted.
We accept euros also, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
On all of our services.
But you know that, Coco, that the royal family of Dubai just took over...
The banks, on the stock market.
No, and also the Grand Avenue project, which is billions of dollars, and it's all being paid for by the taxpayers. We're giving the Dubai royal family money. So, anyway, all right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lady Ayla, and let's keep in touch, and certainly we'll let you know as soon as our next big party's going to be.
Fantastic.
Okay,
take care.
And you're here listening to the Dr. Susan Block Show on Radio Suzy 1. I have Coco Cohn in my studio, and Willem de Ridder has disappeared.
And wandering.
Willem has gone off to tell stories.
Vanished. Why doesn't he tell stories here?
Yeah, we're
okay.
Get over here.
I'm going to put someone else in from Skype here. Buffy Simple. Hello.
Mm. Hey, Buffy.
Buffy Simple. Hello, are you there?
Hello. Buffy slaying dragons.
Buffy is slaying dragons.
Slaying vampires.
Okay.
She's slaying
Buffy.
Vampires indeed.
Probably alligators. She's down in Florida, so I would say alligators.
All Florida. Right,
okay. Let's try...
I also have a quick Bob Guccione story, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let's
but wait,
Bob.
I just put Matt up into...
Okay, Matt. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt. Are you there?
Yeah,
that's
good enough. Whoops. No, you shake your hand.
No, you got to get your technology.
Yeah, your technology is non-audible.
We'll yeah.
Okay,
let's
get
hear
it
the
together and
Bob
come back
Guccione.
Into waiting. So now we have a Bob Guccione story from Coco.
Yeah. Now at the time, it was around that same time that we were just talking about early 70s. And I was at the East Village Other, staff photographer, and I was heading off to Holland, and Bob heard that I was going to Holland and asked me to come to his office, which was a block away from the East Village Other. and he asked me to look up someone in Holland called Bart Juches, and Bart had been doing something called trepanning.
Trepanning.
And asked
trepanation.
Me to, trepanation. And he said, listen, we're very curious. Go visit him and get some photos and find out what's going on there. And it was the first time I'd ever heard of it. And
I've never heard of it. What was that? Tell me.
Well, he was getting people to drill holes in their head.
In their head.
Wow.
Holes in their skull. And went to meet him and read his literature and took photos.
Is it a kind of piercing?
It was more, actually, if you actually drilled a hole in the skull, you would create an indentation in the skull, and that would increase the blood flow. And he said it would put you in kind of a permanent state of enlightenment. And this was a whole...
Like a permanent acupuncture in your head.
Yeah, Willem, wow. You might know a little more about the local...
I've interviewed him quite a lot. He was world famous.
Wow. Are there any survivors? I mean...
Many.
No. It's very easy. When you are born, your skull is still open, you know? And
the skull is certainly very soft.
Yeah, and so it grows slowly when you get older together, and it closes off. Huh?
The fontanelle.
Mm-hmm.
The fontanelle. So what happens as a kid, if the heart pumps the blood, and it pumps it into the brains, then the brains can expand with the heartbeat.
Hmm.
Because there's a little openness in the skull. The fontanelle is not closed yet. The moment you are grown up and the fontanelle is closed, then the brain cannot expand anymore. It's locked up. By making a little hole in the skull, which you can do yourself practically, it's very easy.
Which part of your skull? Where do you put
it? In front or in the back, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter?
No.
You're just sticking a hole in your head? It doesn't matter where you do it?
No.
You could put it in the top of your head or in your forehead or above your ear? It doesn't matter.
And the brain is surrounded by a kind of skin that's so powerful, it's very hard to get through it. So what happens, for the first time then again, the brain can expand with the heartbeat. And you start immediately feeling like a kid again. Hmm. That young feeling you get back. And what happens is we discovered that in England there are many fans. And so we went to England to make a film of them. And it turned out they were like countess, baron. She lived in palaces, you know, in castles. So we went first to a beautiful castle where this countess lived, and she showed us a little film how she did it herself.
She pierced her own head.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you done this to yourself?
No.
Why? You seem to be an advocate.
The interesting thing is that some people, when they grow up, their fontanelle never completely closes.
Oh, I'm one of those people.
And you might be one of those people.
I think so.
I'm one of those people too.
I want to stick a hole in my head. I'm one of those people.
But they've discovered with archaeology, many skulls in the past, who were trepanated. Especially skulls of kings.
I have heard that word, trepan.
Trepanation.
Trepanation.
Now it's all coming back to me.
The priests would do it, and they would actually find, in Peru, they found many skulls.
So Bob Guccione was interested in this. Did he have it done to himself?
He hadn't done it, but he was very curious, because at the time it was a bit of a scandal.
It was world news.
I would think it would be so scandalous now.
I must say, Coco, that Bob Guccione was really interested in a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
And
always interested in new science, kind of health and things like that.
Yeah.
Genetics.
And have you ever been to his apartment in New York?
No, I've never been.
Yeah, it was the largest private apartment in New York City, and he had to give it up at a certain point when General Media had problems. But he was a good friend for many years, and he was one of the first ones to support us as we started getting prosecuted in Los Angeles. Penthouse gave us support. Yeah.
How do you spell that? Trepanation? T-R-E-P-A-N-A-T-I-O-N?
Yes, exactly. Right. Okay. Exactly.
So, next subject. you just did a series of stories. You told stories at an art gallery here in downtown L.A. And that's why you missed our anniversary party.
Yeah. How was the party?
It was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
Sex was wonderful.
You see some pictures on the blog.
The party was all right.
Yes.
The sex afterwards was hot.
Yeah, sex after the party was always good. We get inspired by all our friends. So there's a bunch of pictures on the blog, as well as pictures of all kinds of other stuff, which we'll talk about in a minute.
What kind of stories did you tell?
Oh, in fact, I told about the things I've been doing, how I worked at media, you know, and how I came to Hollywood, and how I started radio here, you know.
Okay.
And how it worked, and for Holland, you know, and how I developed.
Well, we heard some of those stories last time.
You heard those stories.
Oh, okay. So. New stories. Okay. All right, let's get inspired by some of these people who are lining up in Skype. I don't know if we'll be able to talk to them, but let's try. Ahmet Melikan, hello.
Hello.
Hello, where are you calling from?
Istanbul.
Yes, Istanbul.
You speak English, Ahmet?
Ahmet.
No.
No.
But your last name is Khan, which must be related to our guest Coco Khan. Khan. Yeah. Anyway, you can't speak English, so I don't know. You want to sing us a Turkish song? No. Okay, goodbye. All right, so let's try Dejan. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. I was listening to you for a while, about 5-10 minutes, and I have a very interesting question for you, Dr. Susan. It's a question about the sex, and I try to ask many people, ladies and men, about occasions with the ladies during the sex. Some had orgasm during the sex. Some doesn't have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And some ladies didn't experience orgasm for all life. Can you tell me the answer? Because about 10%, 50% didn't have orgasm during the sex.
So the question is this true of the female population, or is this just because you're a lousy lover? Is that the question?
No, I'm not. I'm just teasing. I'm a lousy lover.
No, you're probably.
I'm very serious.
Just the fact that you're asking the question indicates that you care. And a lot of women can't have orgasms. Or I shouldn't say can't. I should say they haven't.
They haven't yet
experienced an orgasm. But they can. I think every woman, every person, every creature on Earth, certainly every mammal, I'm not sure about my snake, but just about every mammal, I think, has orgasmic capabilities, and certainly every woman can have an orgasm, but, you know, it's not necessary for the continuation of the human race. It's certainly not necessary to get pregnant, not necessary for sex itself. It's one of those things, female orgasm, that is just a kind of a wonderful accident or
beautiful bonus.
It's just an extra in life. It's an extra.
I think it's also karmatic payment for everything that we go through.
Yeah, we need to be paid.
And
so,
and I just would like to clarify. That means it is normal if lady never had she's 30 years old.
Yes.
She told me that she never had orgasm, but she enjoys sex and she's satisfied with sex after sex, you know. But
well, there's
orgasm.
There's many different levels to pleasure. There's many different kinds of pleasure, you know, and a climax that we call an orgasm of the genitalia is not the only kind of pleasure you can experience in anything, certainly not in two people being together. So
no.
I can imagine she might say she likes sex, she just hasn't had an orgasm yet. And she can, she just hasn't yet.
It's so
I'm
sad.
I'm going to give her a vibrator.
It always makes me
give me
so
her address.
Sad when I hear that, and I hear it all the time.
No, I don't get sad over
me
it, because
I
it's
do.
just it's just you know, it's just something else that you have yet to do. So when you do it, it'll be great.
Okay.
I mean, if everything is given to you on a silver platter, I think that's kind of sad.
That's
when
true.
When you strive for something, then it's exciting.
I just
that's why female orgasm is so exciting, because it isn't something that's automatic. It's something you have to kind of figure out or find or work for or stumble upon. You know, it's not something that just is given to everybody.
That's
so.
I just hope in my heart that somewhere on some level every woman can feel it, because I think that it's just so beautiful. And
oh, pure. You're so caring. You
I
can be the Mother Teresa of orgasm here.
I want all women to have that. It's not fair.
You know what? Not all women want it. Some of them want to eat macaroni and go shopping.
Well, then more power to them if that's what makes them happy.
Exactly. I'm not here. I mean, I'm certainly here to help anyone have an orgasm, but I'm not going to help someone who doesn't want one, and you really can't help someone that doesn't want one.
And there was a whole generation of women who were raised by their mothers who told them that they should fake orgasms. So
that's villain think of England.
That's correct.
That didn't help.
And that's a whole other thing, is the faking of orgasms, which is one reason so many people are fascinated by female ejaculation, because it's like, how do you know if a woman's really coming? And female ejaculation, yeah, you can sort of see something, like with the guy.
And you know what a big problem is, too? Most men come very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah,
and it takes for women a much longer time.
Right.
To get to the real height of total
ecstasy. Is that you, Dejan? Do you come quickly? Dejan?
Not at all.
I didn't think so. I'm just checking.
To say, I'll be honest, I'm not a fast runner.
Okay.
I try to enjoy sex for about... I noticed on Yahoo one statement that the sex is between 13 and 15 minutes. I was really surprised, because... For me, sex lasts sometimes 1 hour, sometimes a couple hours.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Are you good at going downtown? Are you a cunning linguist? Do you know how to, you know, give a woman pleasure through your tongue?
Oh, yeah, everything. I try everything.
Yeah, because a lot of people are afraid to go downtown.
She didn't have an orgasm for a while, and she said... I had with you the best sex in my life.
Aw, that's sweet. And do you have an orgasm? Do you have a vibrator in, or a few vibrators in your collection?
Yeah, sure.
You
try
do.
Many things.
We okay.
Try really many things, and she really was after all, she was really satisfied, and she really enjoyed, but without orgasm. That's I was
okay.
curious how
so.
Come.
Because. You probably tired her out and she didn't get to orgasm, and it's not your fault and it's nobody's fault. It just didn't happen, and, you know, then she got tired and she didn't want to keep pushing. And if you keep pushing when you haven't done it, you know, sometimes it's really frustrating. Pressure is the enemy of pleasure.
I really didn't push her, because I'm really sensitive as a person.
You are a sensitive lover.
You know, pushing for that, to have orgasm. But I want to not to maybe to hear from you the way.
Well, let me ask you a question. Wait, slow down.
Whoa.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I live in Toronto, Canada, but I'm originally from Europe, Serbia.
Serbia.
And is she Serbian?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So there could be a problem there.
You think it's a cultural thing?
As Coco pointed out, there were generations of women who were told that orgasm
is something you just...
Right.
Pretend to have. And so, you know, maybe she's one step above that. She's not pretending. She told you she didn't have it. But on the other hand, there are some women that learn that to let go completely is not a good idea. So they might be fulfilled.
When
they might enjoy themselves.
When you say let go, what does it mean for you that? I'm not sure.
Have
well,
an orgasm.
In this case, I'm talking about having an orgasm. I mean, there's many ways to let go, but we're talking about the letting go that is involved in an orgasm.
And I'm of the belief, personally, there are many different, like, types and levels of orgasms.
That's
that,
true.
That, yeah, that it's not all about if I, you know, if I can't make this woman squirt every time, I'm not doing my job. There are many different levels and different kinds of orgasms associated with different kinds of pleasure.
Well, having grown up in the 60s when it was, there was a lot more pot smoking going on, I have to say that. When it gets to that point...
I don't know about that. We have medical marijuana here.
When we have medical marijuana...
So, you thing know, is we do
that's,
our share.
That's one more thing that I think is very helpful also in sex sometimes, is if the woman has that issue, sometimes taking one or two puffs of pot, two or three puffs, something happens where the defenses kind of change.
I don't know if that's legal in Toronto, though.
Probably more
it's
legal than
good
here.
Reason, it's another good reason to legalize
almost,
it. But I
almost
think
legal. Almost,
yeah. Almost legal.
Legal.
Almost legal. All right,
next
you got a joint there for
you,
the ladies?
I would suggest you allow her to take a few puffs and try one more time, and I think you'd be surprised, and she would be surprised.
Well, it does do two things, pot, among other things. It kind of heightens a woman's feelings and it slows a man down. So usually it does slow a man down.
Tell her a dirty story.
Hear a dirty story.
Yeah. Okay,
well, Dejan.
It's pretty normal. Take care.
It's pretty normal, but
thank
it's
you,
always
Toronto.
It's not always good to be normal.
It's not always
better
good.
To have fun. Okay.
All
right.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
Our pleasure. Keep in touch.
See you around. Okay.
Yes, definitely.
See you around.
Stay with us. Okay. We have Samir. Samir, hello.
Hello, Samir.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, because I speak German.
No. Nope.
Do you speak German? Something, because it's the...
Ja, ich liebe dich.
And I ich liebe dich, because I speak English and German.
Okay.
And sorry.
Where are you calling from?
Speak German, Will? No German?
Where are you calling from?
English the goodest.
Yeah.
I call him from Kosovo, you know?
From where?
Newborn Kosovo.
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 Okay, all right. Hello, Kosovo.
Okay.
Kosovo,
it's
sorry.
Sort of Serbian night tonight, yeah. Interesting.
How are you?
We are doing well.
We're doing good.
We're having a little reunion
thank
here.
Thank you very much from the American people she have from the newborn Kosovo.
We're not transvestites. What do you mean?
The American people she helped.
Yes, before.
The American people are she, I think. I think that
the American people, the American people and the Czech people and all the people are good people.
Yes, I know, because American people for once we make everything, you know.
Do you have any
we
oil?
Make everything. I don't think we make anything anymore. China
minute,
does
wait
that.
Minute, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
We don't. We only make weapons.
Wait a minute.
Sold everything.
And even those, the parts we have to get.
Excuse me. Do you have any oil in Kosovo?
Actually,
here is 2 billion people. It's small country.
Yeah, but do you have
but
oil?
Live in nationalities: Serbian people, Albanian people, and Muslim people.
Yeah,
you know?
Do you have oil? You know oil.
What?
Do you have oil?
Why are you torturing
yes,
this poor guy?
You have oil? We're going to invade you.
We need more.
Tell me more oil. Tell me in German.
This is the hungry American. The ugly, hungry American wants oil. He's talking to anybody from any country. Do you have oil? We're going to invade you.
Because our oil prices are $4 a gallon.
No, almost five today.
Five.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
He's just kidding.
Yeah.
Yes, no problem.
Making
but it is better for me to speak German than you would know German.
Okay, well, we will learn German for the next show. And until next time.
One moment, please.
Yes.
Okay.
He's getting his dictionary.
I leave now.
You're leaving now. Okay. Okay.
Because I work in mid art wall design. And magic man David Copperfield, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
You're working on that?
My hobby.
That's your hobby.
My hobby. Oh.
You are making a magic kind of trick?
Yeah, trick by David Copperfield. I like David Copperfield. And I have illusion, hypnosis, telepathy, and fakirism, you know?
Illusion, telepathy, and what was that?
Telepathy.
Fakirism.
Fakirism. Oh, we know all about fakirism here. We have
know
a friend
the fakir.
Named the fakir.
The American fakir.
Yes, but not exactly American fakir because I not have. I have 2 years in America. I live in New York. Mm-hmm. I have visa for 3 months. I must go come back in my country to see my family.
Yeah, I understand.
But I like first time in your shot, because after I lived in Germany 10 years ago, I am old, 83 years.
You're 83 years
you're
old?
You're 83 years old?
No. No, your voice doesn't sound like you're
and I have
83
family.
Years old.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait. You're 83 years old?
Is that your age? 73 years old.
Getting younger.
73 at least.
Yes,
possibly
yes,
43.
Did you have a hole drilled in your skull?
No, oh, please.
Sorry, because I like to speak English. But
no, you speak much better English than... We obviously don't speak German,
yeah.
Let alone Serbian or whatever your other languages
we
are.
We can hardly speak English.
Although we can speak Dutch. One of us can.
Ja, ich kann Deutsch.
Two of us.
Oh, you speak some Dutch.
Ja, ich rede Deutsch. Ja.
Okay, talk to...
Willem is going to talk to you and find out how
what
we can
really
settle
all
this.
Yeah, settle this
she
problem.
She can in Deutsch reden if she wants. Ich verstehe Deutsch.
Yeah, okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, alles klar?
Ambition.
Yeah. Yeah. He brought a meeting ready one his first time in this shot. You understand me? And it's not like 10 years ago, I live in Germany. But I coming back.
Why is he speaking English now?
In my country. Yes, I have problem English and German.
English and German you have problems.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
The question is, how many people can you hypnotize at the same time?
What you say?
Are you a hypnotist? You're a hypnotist? You do telepathy?
Yes, I have telepathy. I have it now, in this moment, to help.
You're breaking up. Not only is your English and German a little shaky,
yeah,
but your whole voice is. So, Samir, I'm going
to
tell you goodbye and
thank you
Avita
so much.
Zane, and we will talk
thank
to you,
you
later. Keep in touch and we'll,
you.
You know,
you
try
you
to improve
care.
Our German, you try to improve your English.
And peace.
Okay, what else is going on?
Back to our guests, please.
Yes.
We've been to Kosovo.
Right. Yes. Actually, we had a Serbian moment there. We had
Serbians.
A Serb in Canada,
right.
And then another Serb in Serbia, in Kosovo.
Right.
Or I don't know if he was a Serb. He was talking about the international quality of Kosovo.
One of the wonderful things that we do on this broadcast that perhaps most of you don't know is we use Skype, which allows us to do a talk show with people from all over the world, which most radio stations can't do, and they have not gotten onto this yet. But again, it's a technology that is revolutionizing our minds and introducing each other as human beings, which I love.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing. I just worked on a project where the tech lived in India, the team was in China, the clients in Ireland, the producers are in L.A., and it's just astounding
what you
can do with Skype.
Yeah.
And you have meetings regularly, and it's my favorite.
Yeah, me too. Us too. We build whole things. And actually, you know, Skype, somebody just bought them, but Skype is really a revolutionary technology. It doesn't work a lot of the time, but we hold all our meetings on Skype now. Yeah.
Skype is the way of the future.
Yeah, we're really meeting like crazy on Skype.
Yeah, okay. So you talk to your kids when they're traveling and they're in foreign countries, and
you can
have Skype sex.
Everybody.
You could have Skype sex.
You could have Skype.
You know, we haven't really done that.
No, I haven't, but you know,
you can.
You could.
Yeah.
You could.
Yeah.
Conceivably.
Still, that brings up the old See You, See Me days. That was the first video conferencing that came out of the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana,
and
that was the forerunner.
And Coco is one of the forerunners of the Internet in terms of those things.
Where are you from originally, Coco?
Born in Holland.
You were born in Holland?
Yes.
Well, then why don't you have a Dutch accent?
I came over when I was very young.
Oh, okay.
But I still speak Dutch.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. And you came over to where?
Straight to Palm Springs.
Palm Springs. Wow.
How's that?
Uh-huh.
That was
you kind of grew up in the desert there?
Grew up in the desert, yeah. That was a big jump.
And you also did a lot of things with Seagraph.
Yeah, that's how Mar knows you, through Seagraph.
Right.
Yeah, that was the cutting edge. Well, that was when people were trying to make things out of digital media. But now, if you watch a movie, you don't know if it's real or computer graphics. I think they've achieved their goals, right?
Yeah.
But in the old days, if someone made water or a piece of fabric bend in the wind, it brought the house down.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Special effects.
Special effects.
Yeah.
Now it's all special effects.
Yeah, now any kid can tell you that's Premiere 2.58 when you turn a car and morph it.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
that's
yet, it's all still about storytelling.
Yeah.
It's all the same in terms of can you tell a story either with words or pictures.
Because we're just storytellers. You, no matter what medium we use, you can have all the special effects in the world. If the story sucks, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, nobody wants to pay attention.
Yeah. Or you can sit on a stool like Willem the Ritter and tell riveting stories.
With no technology. So, take
your pick. And the effect of technology is, of course, on the moment since Photoshop, that a lot of women want to be photoshopped by doctors now. You know,
women want to be photoshopped by doctors.
Yeah, of course. You know, the nose shorter, bigger tits.
Right.
Right. Plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery is huge right now.
Yeah.
All these women are like looking at examples now of women that don't exist, that are made up.
Yes.
And they want to be like that.
Well, I have a friend who told me that she wants to look like Jessica Rabbit.
Ooh.
And she basically got herself some surgery, and she's getting there. She's starting to look like Jessica Rabbit.
That's fantastic. In a very twisted kind of way.
In a twisted way, you know. I mean, I'm not sure what... I mean, you know, the part of me that wants people to have freedom and do whatever they want is, like, all for it.
Yeah.
But it is kind of scary.
It is. It's altering everything about yourself. It's kind of...
And going under the knife, you know, and that is still, no matter how advanced the technology, that's dangerous. The human body is still, you know, fragile.
Yeah,
we're
and
squishy meat sacks. We're not supposed to be poked and prodded.
That's so weird in Hollywood too. And you walk behind a woman, and she looks in her 70s, and then you see in the front, you see a face that looks like 40.
Yeah.
Or 30. You know, it's so weird.
Right. No, it is very strange. But I think all that, I don't know. It's not the worst thing in the world. It's not like bombing small villages. It's just people kind of adjusting themselves, and it's like piercing and sticking holes in your head, and for different reasons people make
tattoos.
Adjustments to their bodies. So why not call me Joe is in waiting. Hello Joe. I'll call you Joe.
Hello.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm Joe from Singapore. I think we spoke before.
Welcome Joe.
Singapore.
From Singapore.
I was yeah
thank you.
And what would you like to talk
Singapore
about?
Singapore is a fine It's a fine city. Why I say fine city? Because anything you do, you can get a fine.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah.
For chewing gum, right? Isn't if you chew gum in the subway,
fine
you get
city.
Fined?
Really?
Not that you chew, you got a fine, but if you stick onto the chairs or stick on somebody's hair, you get a fine.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's good to stick it on the chairs or on somebody's hair. Actually, that's okay. I thought you got I thought you get fined just for chewing gum in Singapore.
No, here it's
okay.
A felony.
If you import, you get a fine.
Your gum is a felony.
But if for personal consumption, you won't get a fine.
Okay.
Ah, okay. That's good.
Okay. So, what do you do there in Singapore?
I retired.
Oh.
You're 73?
No, 51.
Okay.
And you're retired.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
What kind of work did you used to do?
I was in the army for some years, then in pharmaceutical industry for more than a decade.
Hmm.
Okay.
And as a PR guy for a Japanese company.
Hmm. Do they have hookers in Singapore?
Oh yeah, of course they do.
They
hookers do? Everywhere.
I don't know. Do they?
It's illegal, but
so
they have
sorry?
Them.
Hookers.
Prostitutes.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't say he wanted to talk about hookers.
No, I'm just asking, just out of curiosity, you know.
No, might get fined for that.
Carry a yellow card.
Yellow card.
You carry a yellow card.
You carry a yellow card?
Every month they have to go for checkup to be certified by doctors that they are clean.
That's good.
Oh, really?
Oh,
so it is
wow.
legal.
That's
all right.
Like
it's legal.
Like in Holland.
Hooray for Singapore.
Decriminalization.
All right.
That's very good. Very good. We didn't know that. I didn't know that. I thought, you know, in Dubai,
that's
by the way.
That's more liberal
yeah.
than here in the United
right.
States?
Yeah. Totally.
That's great.
It's a big step.
Okay, Joe, is there anything else you wanted to talk with us about? Good. We will talk to you later. Mm-hmm. Ciao for now.
I was just in Shanghai, and I was inland a little in Suzhou, which is not too far away, and was surprised at how active the bar scene was at night with
yeah.
the women. And they'd come out. My friend would cover his head up and walk very quickly past the bars. He said, if I don't, they pull me in. So they're very aggressive.
Wow.
In China now.
They pull you in.
They jump in the sidewalk.
By the wallet.
And they grab your shirt and they pull you into the bar.
That's what I call downloading.
Yeah. Instant gratification.
They're very excited about it all.
How did the show go, Willem?
Which show?
Your art. Your.
Oh, my talk.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was very pleasant. You know, whenever I give a speech, you know, I make it really pleasant for myself.
That's important.
And that's the most important thing. So time flies, and for the people, time flies too. I got a lot of compliments. People loved it. Huh? It was quite nice. Coco was there, so you can ask her what she thought about
How
it.
How was it, Coco?
I really liked at the end. You talked about he did an installation with four cameras where he has a talking head, and he showed one segment of it, and it was really interesting. It was talking about, he was talking to the viewer, and he was talking about talking to them. And I really, you were really onto something there, Willem. I like that. Kind of, I'm programming your brain while I'm talking to you, and I thought that was very memorable. I enjoyed that.
And programming your brain.
Yeah.
Well, I try to program everybody's brains as much as possible. They don't
try.
Let me, but I try.
Yeah, but you have no power over other brains. You can
right.
only program yourself.
I can only try. So, okay, are we about done with the show?
We're almost done.
We're almost done.
So, Willem, tell us a little story before we leave. I'm going to turn your mics down, and when I hear Mr. DeRitter tell a story just out of his head.
This is quite a nice story, actually. It's like about a woman that comes into a bank, and she says, I want to open an account. And the woman behind the desk says, okay, what's your name, address, etc. How much money do you want to put on the account? She says, 4 million. 4 million? She says, oh, but then we have to know where you got it from, how you get that money. You better go to the director first. And the director says, yes, madam, 4 million is a lot of money. We have to really know. We cannot just accept so much money. And where do you get it from? Oh, she says, I do bets. What do you mean? Do you do bets? Yes. What do you bet about them? Oh, she said, in fact, I wanted to make a bet with you too. With me? Yes, about what? Now, I bet that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, your balls a square.
Whoa.
What? He said. Yes, they're square. And if they're not square, then you get $100,000 for me. What? But if they're square, you pay me $100,000. He was totally flabbergasted. And she said, I make a contract. Really? And of course, even for a bank director, $100,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, let's do it. And he made the contract, and she left, and he said, okay, tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock I come here, and you show me your balls, and then I pay you the money, or you pay me. And she left, and he was totally, I mean, he couldn't work anymore. You understand, he was in all states. I mean, so he went home. And his wife says, what's happening with you? No. He's not going to tell, you know. And he goes to bed very early, and he has a nightmare that he has square balls. And he wakes up and he feels around. Oh, thank God. And falls asleep again, and he gets up very early, and he goes under the shower, and he feels he has round balls, you know. And then at a certain moment he goes to his office, you know, and he sits there totally upset, you know, and nervous, and he feels around. And then there's a knock on the door, and yes, there's the woman. But she has an older man with her. As a witness, he said, I want to be sure. Okay, she locked the door. He locks it specially, and lowers his pants and his underpants, and yes, she said, perfect. Here is the $100,000. And he's totally flabbergasted. He said, oh, thank you very much, but can I ask you a question? Who's the man who's with you? Oh, he's another director of a big bank, and I made a bet with him that you at 9 o'clock in the morning would, without saying anything, lower your pants and show your balls.
It worked.
She made a $500,000 bet with that guy.
You're ambitious.
She made out. She made out.
Great story.
She made out. So, now we know what to do with all our banks.
I'm going to call my banker in
and
the morning.
And we know there's bank directors listening in.
Great. Great. You've been listening
to
Radio Studio One on the World Wide Web. Worldwide Revolution and Evolution. We're sitting here with Coco and Dr. Block and Terry and Willem de Ridder, world famous in Holland. And all
and
over
Norman.
The world. And Norman, of course.
Norman Alexander Gibbs.
Yes.
Would you care to say hello, Norman?
Yes. Hi, how are you? Whoever you are.
We're doing good.
Okay, so we are winding up the program, unless we have a story from our other guest, Coco.
Coco?
Closing.
Coco has lots of stories.
Story for us. From a sex story.
Coco, you're
a banking story.
You're as beautiful as you were 36 years ago.
It's so nice to see you after all this time. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful here. I wish everyone could be here and walk around and wander all these amazing rooms.
This place is a story, isn't it? History.
Astounding art, and it's great vibes. Very, very nice to be here.
This is the speakeasy here. Is it magnificent?
It's magnificent.
It's getting a little more magnificent all the time.
It's like you can't describe it.
We're cleaning up the annex. Is there a cleanup campaign underway over at the annex? Yes?
Clean up for hot dogs.
Very good. Yes. We clean for hot dogs. Absolutely. Very good. And the blog has been revised. There's a new blog up right now. So check out drsusanblock.com/blog. You can see pictures of the Korean sex theme park, Jeju. Amazing Korean sex theme park. Because Koreans are very repressed, and they have a lot of arranged marriages, so they all go to this little island.
And did the Jews own it?
And learn how to have sex. On this park. In this park. Here, you can look at the pictures
Jeju.
Right here. And this is also about the Raelians. You know about the Raelians?
The Raelians.
Oh, yeah.
The Raelians.
What is that?
They're the ones that... This is from the Korean sex theme park. And then here's my dinner with Rael. This is Rael here.
Is he the Rael?
Here, I have to show... Willem, these are very kitschy sculptures that they have here, Willem. This is the...
They're beautiful. I love them.
The sex theme park, Satyr and Nymph. This is me and Rael there at Giraffe.
With this spacesuit.
Wonderful place. I had fabulous foie gras. These are Rael's girls in South Beach. Yeah, they look hot, huh? You know, Rael's girls, they I don't know, they do these sort of installations of themselves topless.
And this is the prophet Elisha seeing Elijah ride a chariot of fire into heaven. Because, of course, we're talking about Rael, who saw this alien, who's in the next picture, right, which is kind of far-fetched. But then again, the Bible is full of far-fetched stuff. And Rael has his religion where he sees an alien that comes, like, into a volcanic crater and tells him that he actually created all of humanity and the rest of life. And this is a finger. Speaking of finger, look at this. Look at this finger here. That's pretty nice. This is in Korea. This is at that island. By the way, if you're listening and don't know what I'm talking about, you can follow along at drsusanblock.com/blog. Here we have some other sculpture here. More crazy, kitschy Korean love park action. And another topless Raelian. And Bonobo Way, and dinner at Giraffe, and Rael in his spacesuit. Look at this samurai spacesuit, all white.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And also, the spacemen that he talks about are using old technology. They're not beamed.
Those staircases.
Yeah, they're
now,
using stairs.
Now, if you think that Rael looks weird, okay, in his in his samurai spacesuit, then you just look below. And you can see the cardinals at the Vatican. Now, excuse me, but what costume is odder than these cardinals, these old men in red and white, like, lacy aprons, very lacy aprons, and the little white skull caps. And not only are they in red, they're red dresses, and you don't know what they're wearing even under the dresses.
Lingerie.
Lingerie, absolutely. So here we are. This is Raelian Bishop Lara and her partner Jimmy, who's a musician. And
Lara's hot.
Yeah, Lara's hot. Lara's hot. Jimmy's hot
in
his man way. He wears also a slut skirt.
Right, right. He also wears a skirt.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't put that in there, but he's wearing a skirt. He was wearing. I like men in skirts. I think it's cool. I like men in skirts.
I actually do. And
yeah.
It's like a man wearing jeans and a skirt. There's something about it. I was at a party 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It works so well.
Where did my pen go?
A bunch of men. And we were, when we came to the door, as we came in, we were told to put on a skirt. We picked a skirt.
Yeah.
And we put it on. Most of the men were wearing jeans. And it looked so fucking cool. You know, it was a high sex night, too, and that was not intended.
No, but that's what happens when you're wearing a skirt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole idea of pants is Puritanism. There's something about wearing pants. It wraps you up. You're encased. If you're wearing a skirt, somebody can go up your skirt. You know, and you know, when a man is kind of sexy and he's wearing a skirt, you know, you want to slide your hand up his skirt.
Half the fun of Burning Man is all the men in skirts.
All the men in skirts, exactly.
That's also why men love skirts, because we have the same thought about skirts.
Yes.
Going up them.
Going up the skirts, right.
Lifting them.
All right, so, you know, these Raelians, they have some fine qualities. The men wear skirts. We like that. But they do not believe in evolution. And so I have a problem with that, because my bonobo cousins are a little offended and insulted that these people don't believe in evolution. I mean, you know, you can believe in aliens. That's fine. I mean, maybe they're out there. But evolution is our...
We keep digging up millions of year old proof
of
the evolutionary process.
Millions of years.
What are we going to do? Are we going to burn down every museum, every science lab?
You know, even the Pope, and this Pope is a conservative Pope, he says, hey, evolution, you can believe in evolution and also in God and in all the host of everything.
Whatever you want to believe in, because I need money.
But, yeah, exactly. So let's not offend the atheists who used to be Catholics.
And I'm sure he doesn't wear pants.
But so the Raelians have to start figuring out a way to get evolution okay with their whole alien trip. It's not difficult, okay?
The aliens had to evolve also.
Exactly, you know, come on.
In order to make spaceships with stairs that come up.
He can integrate the aliens into evolution.
Right.
You don't have to deny evolution. That makes you seem like a wacko.
Right.
It's bad enough with the... you know, the little green men.
And so I have a feeling that on this Earth, we're alien to yet another planet.
Right, of course.
So I think we should all embrace our alienism.
Well, we
be done with it.
Alienism
said,
I
can
embrace. I don't have a problem with the alien thing. But don't diss Darwin, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Darwin's my man,
yeah,
right. You know, come on. Okay, so then there we have more Korean theme park. This is a big fat woman. What do you think of this one, Norman? Look at this one. This one is wild. This did you see this one, Terry? The big fat woman with the skinny guy trying to...
Oh, I like
I don't know
that's
what's going
nice.
On there.
That's very
and she's very hot.
And, yeah.
We saw that
and we have a lot of big women on the blog in general. And then look at these girls looking... These are girls
like
all sitting on the edge.
Queen
of
oh, yeah,
okay.
Queen Adrena.
Now look at this,
Susan.
That's
Susan.
A big guy getting a blowjob from the young girl.
Queen Adrena was a giantess.
She's, of course, over 21.
Who sat on people.
Right, there you go. She looks like Queen Adrena, yeah. That woman. And now this is the urinals, Norman. Look at these urinals.
Oh, that's weird.
No, come on. Come on!
I don't want to pee in... If I'm, you know, if I'm
I know,
pee,
that's
I
what some guys have
in,
told me.
I don't want to pee into a guy holding a thing for me.
I know.
No, it's like maybe if you were a girl holding a thing, maybe.
I know. They sort of didn't design this one right.
I don't want to
think
about that.
This
a
little bit...
It's like your assistant.
I just want to pee.
I know.
It's just your assistant.
It's a little bit of a gay thing, maybe. Maybe for the gay guys, it's cool. You know, you pee. Maybe that's
or maybe they work in a bathhouse and they're just there to help.
Now, here's my new whip. This is a nice whip. Norman, you use this whip.
Beautiful.
We got to sell this whip now. Would you sell this whip?
Oh, this whip is wonderful. It has the right textures. It's like a suede, a soft suede. The colors of it, the weight of it is incredible.
Why aren't
because
people buying it?
Because they're fools.
Because we
they're
just
fools.
Put it up.
If they were aware, it's a beautiful thing. It hangs in your house beautifully. You don't even have to whip someone with it. But if you have it around, tendency is you probably will. The thing is, it looks beautiful. It's a piece of art. This is incredible. I can't believe... How much is this thing, Susan?
You know what? Let me see. I know we're offering it at a discount. Here it is. It's $69, okay?
It's $69. Wait a minute.
Here's the thing.
It's more than that.
Piece.
It's $99.69.
Oh, it's $100.
It's under $100.
But you know what? The thing is, it's like... It's so luscious. It's so wonderful.
And it's the only thing we make in America anymore.
The handle is textured, hard, stiff, and the weight of the striations on it.
All right, Susie.
And the colors. They're red, blue, black.
Here's the thing. You know that all of those fine pieces that are streaming out hit these nerve endings in the most delicious way.
In the most delicious way.
Your arms are back. Your legs are spread.
Yes.
And then
I want to come. I want to come.
I want to come and want to come.
I want to come.
Dare I say this, folks?
That's one of the great pieces ever.
I don't mean to be too bold, but dare I say this? It's deliciously nasty.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's got a great sound,
nasty.
Too. It's got a nice sound.
I want to come.
It's very elegant.
It really is elegant.
And it's kind of, patriotic.
All right, Susie.
Red, black, and blue.
All right.
Okay, so the whip, and then also on the blog is the party. And so in the meantime, we'll be back again to maybe tomorrow or the next night. And we'll see. We'll see how we feel.
And we're going to end with a I Want to Come song
beautiful.
After you close.
Oh, we're going to have I Want to Come
song.
Yeah,
after you close, yes.
What do you mean, I Want to Come song? We have a song?
It's Susan.
What?
Close the show and then...
Tell me what you're talking about.
Close the show. And then we're going to have a little melody.
I might not want to close the show. I might want to just hear it now. And then I'll close the show.
Okay. All right.
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Quiet on the set.
Okay.
What are we doing?
I Want to Come.
I Want to Come.
I want to come.
Lord! Oh, come. One, two, come.
Whoa. That was great.
That was real, wasn't it?
That was great.
How beautiful. That was Sister Coco Cone. Thank you
wonderful.
So much for sharing and for coming and arriving. And thank you, Brother Willem de Ritter. And thank you, Sister Terry London. And thank you, Brother Norman Alexander Gibbs. And mon frère, David. Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
Mon amour.
And thank you, my darling listeners, for having us in your homes or your cardboard boxes on the streets of downtown L.A., wherever you have your computer. I'm sure they have some laptops on the streets of downtown L.A. and some of the homeless shelters. You know, there are some people that would have a laptop and not a house. Or perhaps you're in a penthouse, like the one where Finger Magazine
was created. Wasn't born there, but it moved there.
Or perhaps
moved down the street.
You're on a cliff like Dr. K, overlooking the ocean. Or, you know, wherever you are, be good, be happy. Try not to hurt anyone, okay? I mean, if you want to hurt someone, just give them a good flogging with the flogger, because it doesn't really hurt, okay? You can hit it as hard as you want, and you're not going to hurt anybody, except don't do it in your eye. You'll put your eye out. Okay. But otherwise, be good, be happy. Make like the bonobos, not the baboons. Make love. You want to come. You want to come. You know you do. So come. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
From Los Angeles, California, you've been listening to the words of the past and the words of the future. Technology, our crutches, our new feet. By the way, you can get some new feet that look like bears. From Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house, thank you so much for having us, and we'll talk to you very soon. You're listening to Radio Suzy 1 on the World Wide Web, and in a few minutes I'm going to bring you to a live, to a pre-broadcast show, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay. Well, the point is,
if you take too much longer, I'm going to have to get a credit card number.
Does she spring your springs? Does she make you sing? Is she worth it? Is she worth it to you?
To be honest.